Welcome to The Average Shepherd. My name is Father Sam French, and today is Maundy Thursday, and I want to share with you my homily from the Mass of the Lord's Supper. It's called A Sacred Encounter, The Last Supper and the Call to Serve. And we're reading today from the Gospel of John. Let's begin. It was before the festival of the Passover, and Jesus knew the hour had come for him to pass from this world to the Father. He had always loved those who were in the world, but now he showed how perfect his love was. They were at supper, and the devil had already put it in the mind of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything into his hands, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And he got up from table, removed his outer garment, and taking a towel, wrapped it round his waist. He then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he was wearing. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "At the moment you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." "Never," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I do not wash you, you can have nothing in common with me." "Then, Lord," said Simon Peter, "not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said, "No one who has taken a bath needs washing. He is clean all over. You too are clean, though not all of you are." He knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "Though not all of you are." When he had washed their feet and put on his clothes again, he went back to the table. "Do you understand," he said, "what I have done for you? You call me Master and Lord, and rightly so I am. And if I then, Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you should wash each other's feet. I have given you an example that you may copy what I have done for you." The Gospel of the Lord. I often wonder to myself, what would it have been like that night to join Jesus and his disciples in the upper room? I think Pope Paul VI almost perfectly described the drama that was taking place that night in his 1975 Holy Thursday homily. He wrote the following: "Jesus himself wished to give that encounter such a fullness of meaning, such a richness of memories, such a moving image of words and thoughts, such a newness of acts and precepts, that we can never exhaust our reflection and exploration of it. It was a testamentary supper, infinitely affectionate and immensely sad, and at the same time a mysterious revelation of divine promises, of supreme visions. Death was imminent with silent omens of betrayal, of abandonment, of immolation. The conversation dies down, but Jesus continues to speak in words that are new and beautifully reflective, in almost supreme intimacy, almost hovering between life and death." Pope Paul observed that there's so much going on in the gospel tonight that it's difficult for us to take it all in. And it's precisely for that reason that the church, in her wisdom, has us recreate this evening the events that took place that night. See, we've all heard it said before, actions speak louder than words, and so they do. So in a way, my homily this evening is more or less just an introduction to the more profound message which is going to unfold on the sanctuary tonight in the washing of the feet. But before we commence with this action, I would just like to highlight two important points. Number one, the symbolism of Christ himself washing the disciples' feet. Number two, our response to Jesus' action. So during the Last Supper, we read that Jesus removes his outer garments, as I'm going to do in a moment's time. And then he commences to wash the feet of his disciples. This action being performed by their Master and Lord would have nearly blown the disciples' minds, as such an act of humility and service was typically performed by the servants of the house. This foot washing, therefore, is a symbolic representation of the perfect love of God. That is to say, the complete gift of self in service of the other. This was a sign that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who existed from all time, who with the Father and Spirit brought the entire universe into being, is willing to descend to the most miserable depths for no other reason than to save us. The washing is a physical representation of Christ's own love for you, and a reminder that this ultimate gift of self, his death on the cross, washes away our sins and brings us into divine life, that is, into eternal friendship with God. Read through the gospel and you will find that Jesus' entire life was an example of this service to others, doing the Father's will, even when it meant dying on the cross. Now, after washing their feet, Jesus says, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you." See, the surest sign of true, authentic, living faith is to love others with the same spirit of self-sacrifice and service. In John 13, 17, Jesus adds, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." In other words, the more we concern ourselves with the service of others and not the service of ourselves, the happier and more fulfilled we become. St. Jose Maria put it bluntly, "Let us reject from our hearts any pride, any ambition, any desire to dominate, and peace and joy will reign around us and within us as a consequence of our personal sacrifice." Now, this, of course, is going to look different for every person in every vocation, but the principle behind this foot washing remains the same. In marriage, it means putting the needs of your spouse first, emotionally and practically, particularly in times of stress and difficulty. As parents, it might be willingly losing some sleep or leisure for the sake of the children's education or development. For priests, it's going to be answering that midnight call to the hospital, commitment in praying daily for parishioners, and being available for pastoral care. Whatever our vocation, when we imitate the selfless love of Jesus in our service of others, we cultivate peace and joy within ourselves and our communities. Now, the second point is how we respond to this action of Jesus. We read in the gospel today how when Jesus approaches Peter to wash his feet, Peter instinctively resists, unable to grasp the profound significance of what Jesus is doing in this moment. See, and then our Lord, he gently but firmly tells Peter that if he doesn't allow him to wash his feet, he cannot share in the kingdom. But Jesus then offers the reassurance to him, saying, "At the moment, you do not know what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Now, what does Jesus mean by this? He's referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, three chapters later in the Gospel of John, Jesus promises his disciples, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you to all the truth." Like Peter, we can hesitate. We can resist to accept what it is that Christ is doing in our own lives when we are lacking in understanding. Now, this might be because we doubt the power of God, or we hold within ourselves lingering unanswered questions we have about the Catholic faith. We might shy away from a relationship with Jesus because we feel unworthy due to our sins. That's a lie, of course. Everything is forgiven, can be forgiven by God, especially in the sacrament of reconciliation. Or we might stay away from that relationship because we're scared of the commitment that becoming a disciple might place on our own sense of freedom. Nevertheless, today Jesus is inviting each of us to take a leap of faith and to place our trust in him, to enter into a personal relationship with him. Because in time, through the power of the Holy Spirit which Christ himself promised us, we too, like Peter and the other disciples, will come to comprehend and experience the transformative power of God's love in our own lives, a joy unlike anything this world can offer. So as we prepare our hearts now to reenact the washing of the feet, let us be inspired by Christ's perfect example of service and strive to follow in his footsteps, putting the needs of others before our own in every aspect of our lives. And if we, like Peter, find ourselves tonight hesitating or resisting the work of Jesus in our lives, may we come to trust in his promise of the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to the transformative power of God's love for us. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus through the intercession of his Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to help me spread the word and this podcast, share this with anyone you think might benefit. God bless you all and have a happy and holy day.